While I was growing up in the church, I think John 14:6, one of the verses that's in today's gospel reading, was one of the first ones I had memorized by heart. It's the one that says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It was initially taught, I think, in order to give a sense of encouragement, a sense of confidence in the promises of God to us, to me, as a new Christian, as a young Christian. But it didn't take me long to start viewing that passage as kind of a line of demarcation, kind of a litmus test, right? You know, that to look at this idea that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So there's the way that Jesus provides. There's everything else. And it was very easy for me to divide the world into two populations, those who followed Jesus and those who did not. As I've gotten older, I've started to find that line between the two much blurrier than I once thought as a young man. And I don't say that to diminish anything about Jesus or what Jesus did for us on the cross or in his resurrection. I don't do that to diminish anything about the Father or the Holy Spirit that in the Trinity combine to give us life and love and hope and joy. But I do say that because I don't think passages like this one were ever meant to be litmus tests. I don't think they were ever meant to be used in order to kind of beat people over the head with the idea of Jesus. It wasn't until I started appreciating the larger context of John 14:6 that I think I started to understand what Jesus was offering. And again, I don't say that to say that Jesus wasn't offering life and didn't come to bring salvation and to bring resurrection and to bring new life. But what I do think is that this line that I so quickly took out of context was a response to a question. You see, Jesus is preparing for the crucifixion in John's gospel at this time. John's gospel presents Jesus much more as God than as human being. And so throughout John's gospel, you have the sense that Jesus kind of knows what's going on and knows what's coming and is very kind of, and is always kind of preparing and moving in that direction. And so we get the sense in John 14 that Jesus is saying, you know, I'm going to be leaving you. I'm in Jerusalem and I will be going to my death soon. And I will be resurrected and I will ascend into heaven and you will see me no longer. But I go that I might prepare, but he goes that he might prepare a place for us and for them. For in God's house, in the Father's house, there are many rooms. To this, Thomas asks, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus responds, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus' response is his reassurance to the disciples that they are not being abandoned and they will not be left to wander in the desert, to wander in the darkness alone. It's the promise that they will always know and be guided by the life that lives within them, by the Spirit, by the reality of God that calls all of us into new life. My hope is that wherever you are in your spiritual walk, as we gather here this morning, whatever you're wrestling with, whatever you bring into this place, whatever doubts or fears you might have, whatever confidences or certainties you might have, please hear and know that God is with you. And if at any point you feel lost, you feel alone, you feel abandoned, if ever you need a friend or a companion or a support in this journey of life, that God stands with you and in the Spirit guides you back to where he is. Today's passage is the assurance that we who call on the name Jesus never need worry about getting lost. Doesn't mean we won't get lost. It just means that we will know the way out as we turn our hearts to God. This was never meant to be something that we used to tell people why they weren't good enough because they didn't believe in Jesus the way we did. This is a passage to reassure us who follow after God, who follow Jesus, to know that we never need worry about being left behind. We never need worry about being left alone. Our God is in the business of resurrection and redemption. Our God comes all the way to us in the person of Jesus and in the work of the Holy Spirit because God knows that we don't have the power to get to Him. In our need, and in the ways in which we are broken, and the ways in which we come up short in life, and the ways that we hurt one another and hurt ourselves, in the ways in which our love comes up short, God meets us in that place. The work of the cross and the resurrection is to heal over that, to cover over it, that when God looks at us, what God sees is not one who is in need, but one who is resurrected, one who has new life, one who has been welcomed into the kingdom as a child of God. And if you ever feel like you can't see the kingdom or you don't know where it is, God and God's Spirit is there to guide you and to lead you. And what I think that looks like is I think that looks like the reality of love that God places in our hearts. If anything, I think the walk of the Christian, those of us who follow the way, who are disciples of Christ, what that work is learning and understanding more and more what love is and what it looks like, is being convinced more and more that we are loved in spite of all the stuff we wrestle with and struggle with, in spite of our lack of certainty and our doubts. Not even in spite, in light of our uncertainty and our doubts. God comes all the way to us and welcomes us into the kingdom. Don't let yourself be afraid that you're going to be left behind. And for those of you, and I don't know if any of you here are in this place, but if there's anyone here that just has been coming to church, you know, week in and week out, and just can't remember the last time you remember feeling God's presence, you feel like God doesn't speak to you anymore, or that you've lost whatever it is, please know that I have experienced that plenty of times in my life too. You're not alone. I'm glad you're here. I hope that in this passage, in this sermon, in our worship today, I invite you to open your heart to God and trust that God will show you the way to the Father. I don't know how all of this works. I can't even begin to presume to explain the ins and the outs of how the Spirit moves and works. In fact, the Scriptures are very clear that the Spirit moves and blows as it wills, and it's very hard to know from which direction it will come next. I think in part that's why we gather together, why the kingdom of God and the church is about us gathering and being one, to remind each other and to smooth over the ups and the downs that life brings us. Think about how much life sways from good to bad, to elation to impossibility, from celebration to suffering and misery. Life has twists and turns and goes every which way. And the church is here that as we gather together, we all come from different places. Some of us are at peaks, and some of us are in the trough, and some of us are somewhere in between. And as we come together, it starts to balance that cycle out. The energy and the sense and the spirit that is here starts to unite us and draw us together, that we might find peace and we might find joy in the things of God, in the worship of God, both in the Word and in the sacrament. I talk a lot about community here at St. David's, and I think community is a big piece of the church. Learning how to live with one another, learning how to be together, learning how to be disciples of Christ. But community extends well beyond these walls. I think if all of our primary community was right here in this church right now, we would be in grave trouble. Because it would mean we had become so insular that we had kind of cut ourselves off from the world around us. The church isn't supposed to have all of your best friends in it, though I hope one or two close friends are here with you. The church is a place where we gather from all of our weird and different experiences. And in our honesty and vulnerability, we come and we lay our needs and our fears at the foot of the cross, at the altar of our God. And we receive the body and the bread, the body and the blood, the bread and the wine, that we might be encouraged and reassured of God's good grace for us and God's good love for us. This thing we do is messy and is weird. It's full of contrasts and full of ups and downs. And Jesus knew that. I can't imagine what it was like for the Christ to walk with his disciples for 3 years, right? Teaching them day in and day out. And to get to the very end and still realize they have no idea what he's talking about. So if you still aren't sure what God's talking about, it's okay. You're not alone. You're in good company. You're in the company of the disciples, and you're in the company of them with me. Anytime I think I've got God figured out is the moment I realize I am so far off. God moves in mysterious ways. And when we try to contain God, when we try to domesticate God and make God something that we control and that we understand and that we have all figured out, we reduce God to something far below what he is. I think what it means for Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life, for him to be the Father and the Father to be in him, for them to be unified along with the Holy Spirit as in the mystery of the Trinity. It's meant for us to enter into, not necessarily to understand. And for me, I find that a great comfort. Because if I had to have this all figured out before I was welcome, I would be on the outside looking in my whole life. It's in the mystery. It's in the everyday. It's in the mess that God invites us in. Wherever you are is okay. There's no right place to be. There's no right way to be a Christian. I mean, maybe there is, but I sure don't have it figured out. I mean, I might argue with you about my right way, but I'll tell you what, in a couple years, I'll think differently, so don't trust me completely on that. I'm in this with you. We're in this together. Whether we're the best of friends, whether we're enemies, whether we're strangers or friends, whatever it is that unites us, whatever the relationship is between us here on earth, what unites us is the Spirit and the love of God. My hunch is that's what's drawn us together. And I invite you to open your hearts to that today. And not just today, but every day. Whether you're here in worship or out in the everyday world, in whatever form that takes. I pray that you would open yourself up to God and start maybe asking God to show you the ways in which God is at work in this world. Because I promise you the love and the joy of God is at work in this world all over the place. I think one of the great injustices that we perpetrate in the church is that we start to think that God only exists in these kind of holy places and in these holy times. But I promise you, God is at work in the everyday, in the mundane, in your lives out there as well as in here. I hope that you will open your heart to him in those times as well. Ask what God is doing. Look around and see where God might be at work in the community and in the world. Follow after the Spirit and where the Spirit leads you. Follow after where your heart is taken. That's what we mean when we talk about calling and vocation in the church. Thankfully, for most of you, it doesn't lead here to the pulpit or to the altar. It leads out there into the world that God loves so desperately and so misunderstands him. And it's our lives, it's our actions, it's our words, it's who we are and what we bring into this world that helps to translate who God is for the people who are out there. We come bearing love, peace, kindness, compassion, empathy, and joy. That is our job. That is what we do. We discover it at this table, in our communion, and in our hearts. And we take it out to the world. It is a pleasure to be able to do that with you and to be a part of this kind of weird experience together. If I ever figure it out, I'll let you know. But I don't think I will, at least not on this side of eternity. And so I'll leave you with that. Thank you for being here, for being a part of our worship this morning. You often hear me say it from the crossing during announcements or during the offertory, but whether you're here for 1 week or for the rest of your lives, this church, this place, this community is different because you have joined us and because your worship, you have offered your worship here in this place to God. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for worshiping here this morning. It is a pleasure and honor to worship with you this day and always. And wherever you go, wherever your heart takes you, wherever God leads you, I pray that you would go knowing that you are led by the Spirit of God, that God will always be with you every step of the way, and that you have the opportunity to take God's love and mission and joy to everyone you meet. Amen.